Are you ready for the deadliest news, issues, comments, and people? Well, on now is National Talk Black with Trendy Trev, going live from BBM through the National Indigenous Radio Service. Give us a call now, 1-800-422-416. National Talk Black with Trendy Trev.
Yes, a very good morning, you daily mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry, live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji Country, as BBM Bumbabrip Media, 98.7 FM. We go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Radio Service. You can have your Sabre calls on that daily number, 1-800-422-416. Like to acknowledge traditional owners of the land we broadcast from and to all our traditional across this beautiful country of ours. Welcome back, National Talk Black. Yarn up strong, your mob. Orly is here on your daily program, National Talk Black. Now, Australian kids want to learn First Nation words and culture more than other foreign languages. So there it is. A new poll of primary school students has revealed that a student would rather learn a local First Nation language than the community taught Japanese, Mandarin, French, Italian, German and Indonesia. We're going to catch up a yarn now with campaign advisor, Professor Tom Karma, AO, and he's from the Australian Literacy and Numeracy Foundation. On the line, a very good morning. Tom, how are you?
Good morning, Trevor, and good morning, listeners. And I'm really good down in today's sunny Canberra. Cold but sunny.
Cold but sunny. Beautiful. Thank you for coming to the program. Before we start, Professor, let the mob know who your mob, where you're from.
Yeah. Look, I'm from Darwin, just outside. My mum's Kungarakan and my father is Iwija. And, but I live down in Canberra now on Ngunnawal country. But I work all over Australia.
Beautiful. Big footprint. Thank you very much. Look, a deadly yarn here. Australian kids want to learn First Nation words and culture more than any other foreign languages. That is a beautiful thing, isn't it?
Oh, it's fantastic. And look, this has been building for some time. And, we know that through the work that Reconciliation Australia does and the Ngunnawal program, we know that, the work that the Australian Literacy and Numeracy Foundation had done. Mm. And now we're working with World Vision and Scott Winch in there to have a new campaign that we started probably last year, might have been a little bit earlier,
yes.
Called Know Your Country. And it's really about trying to get, Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander teachers into schools to give a first-hand, lesson to our kids.
And look, that creates job opportunities for our mob. And when we're talking language, are we talking languages from the traditional owners to where the school sits? Is that the case?
Definitely. And it's that's the prime objective.
Yes.
There's probably a couple of things happening. One is that New South Wales in particular, also Victoria, Queensland, the governments have been encouraging schools to do more in language and understanding your country. And, this has been an ongoing movement. But what's happened is that it's never been really funded. It still hasn't been funded. We're
sure.
trying to drive a campaign.
Yes.
But that's to get local people to talk not only local languages, because that's not always the easiest thing to do, but also about understanding the country, know your country, which is about language, it's about culture, it's about practice, it's about the environment. Everything that we do naturally as blackfellas, we're trying to educate others.
Well, Professor Tom, when you look at it, for 230 years, we learn all about Captain Cook, haven't we?
Oh, that's definitely the case. And look, a lot of our parents and grandparents and even some of our older kids in their school have just learnt about, white man's history as if the history of Australia started 230 years ago when we've been here for 60 plus thousand years.
Yes.
We're the oldest living, continuing culture in the world.
And look, it just gives the choice then, because like I said, throughout the curriculum, Mandarin, French, Italian, German, that's always been there, hasn't it? And now we have another option, and a powerful option at that.
Yeah, and some of those languages are good for business, but for the general population, they'll never ever use that language outside of the school. Whereas if you know your own country, where you're living, and you understand about that, and you can, and not only for non-Indigenous kids, but for our mob too, to learn more about our language and culture, because some of us haven't had the opportunity to get that level of experience. and to be able to look, you know, the more you can understand people, the better race relations happen, the better the interaction between population groups are.
Yes.
And so, you know, it's a win-win if we can do this.
Exactly. And look, it also instills in us as First Nation people and keeps our culture alive, doesn't it?
Yeah, definitely the case. And that's, you know, important. And, you know, some of the work that we do through another one of the sister companies of the Australian Literacy and Numeracy Foundation is a Living First Language platform. Mm. And that's where we work with our mob across the nation and help, you know, preserve languages by recording them, by, you know, teaching them back and teaching between, you know, English and their own language. So, but our big program is all about using first language speakers. So it's not about writing a dictionary so everybody's got to sort of guess how to pronounce a word.
Mm.
It's about how our own mob, the owners of the language, pronounce words and what they mean to them. So it's really powerful.
And I see that the commitment there of $14 million over 3 years to employ First Nations language and culture teachers in 60 schools. Like I said, well, that's the beginning. And it's only a drop in the ocean, but beginning's half done, Tom.
Yeah, well, we haven't got it yet. This is what Labor is saying,
okay,
that if they get into government, they will then, you know, start that process off, which is a fantastic commitment. You know, and but you know they've got to get in first, and then you know we're going to see the money, and then we're going to find the teachers. But you know, look, even now, even though we don't have the money, there's you know, some of our elders, they work in schools now, and you know that's really positive. And the more we can get our mob working in the school system, the better the education outcomes are for our kids, because they can see the relevance. They don't feel shame about going to school.
No.
They don't get bullied and maybe, you know, other poor experiences. And we know, as the sort of survey shows, that there's a thirst by kids to learn. And
that empowers and motivates the kids to come to school, you know. When we're talking black on black, having a black teacher talking to our black students, our black kids, and, that's a great ingredient, it says.
And where we work already, you know, in teaching language and literacy in schools, and you know, part of what ALF does is to go and empower the teachers in the schools by using, you know, Aboriginal people to help educate them to then have a better understanding about why kids do what they do, some of their home relationships and the home environments which are not conducive to study. But, you know, the best thing that we learn is that the more we can get parents and carers involved in the education of their kids or their grandchildren, the better the education outcomes. And so our kids, they want the good experiences at school. And but, you know, over the years, you know, you're too young, Trevor, but, you know, your parents and grandparents, when we went to school, it wasn't always a good experience.
And, yeah, exactly.
And, you know, we weren't allowed to learn culture. It was actually beaten out of us.
Exactly.
We couldn't talk language. And so this is a revival, and this is something that we say, you know, governments have a responsibility to bring back what they took off us.
Exactly.
And do it while we've still got people around, you know, who can talk the language and understand the culture a lot more and are willing to share it. Because the more distance we get, you know, from practicing language and culture, the harder it is to retain it and learn it. And so,
it's a beautiful thing. And look, thank you very much for sharing, Professor Tom. And look, there's light at the end of the tunnel, and fantastic. And resilient people we are, 60,000 years, and we're not going nowhere.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And Trevor, thank you for raising this, because I think it's a really important one. And you and I have actually spoken about these sort of programs before. And
yes.
In Queensland, we are doing, well, in all states now, we are working on trying to revive languages. And through our language program, we're working now with over a dozen communities to record their language so it can be retaught back in by the mother tongue speakers. And you know, we've got an app that does all that sort of stuff, but it requires money, it requires donations from the corporate sector to help support it. And there is an interest out there for our corporate sector wanting to get more involved and support, you know, the redress that's needed for our mob so that we can enjoy a, you know, full citizenship rights and and full entitlements, and try and erase or, you know, racism that exists, the bullying that exists, the ridicule of our mob. We've got to be positive and
And it's a good vehicle, isn't it?
Yeah.
Powerful vehicle. Thank you, Professor Tom. All the best, Uncle. We'll talk soon, eh?
Thanks, brother.
Thank you. Bye-bye. That's a beautiful yarn there with Professor Tom Carmer, AO, campaign advisor from the Australian Literacy and Numeracy Foundation, and talking about Australian kids want to learn First Nations language, which is fantastic. Have your say in Yana Strong at the conversation here, National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416. Yeah, Wurundjeri band, that's Fitzroy Crossan here on your daily program, National Talk Black. Have your say in Yarn Up Strong, 1-800-422-416, number you need to call. Yarn Up with yours truly, Trevor Tim, Trendy, Trev Murray from the Curry, live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns, as BBM, Bummer Brip Media, 98.7 FM, and we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Israeli Service. All right, so now, with a purpose to generate a meaningful and collaborative dialogue on co-design, traditional owners from across WA met with the government, industry and investment representatives to discuss how the principles of co-design should inform the implementation of the WA government's Aboriginal Cultural Heritage Act 2021. We're going to catch up a yarn now with National Native Title Council Chairman Cato Muir. On the line, have a yarn with him in regarding this space. Cato, good morning. How are you?
Hey, good morning, Trev.
Thank you very much for coming to the program. Before we start, brother, let the mob know who your mob, where you're from.
Yeah, righto. I'm Cato Muir. I'm out on the deserts of Western Australia. My language group's Ngalia, part of Northern Wanga, the country, but my country sits up against the Murdo and the Nganya that are people on right out in the middle of the desert.
Beautiful. There's a man, yep, thank you, my brother. Co-design is more than just a consultation, yes?
Absolutely, more than just consultation. There's two lots of co-design going on at the moment. One is at the federal level, where the National Native Title Council, through our First Nations Heritage Protection Alliance, we've set up a co-design process on the federal Aboriginal heritage legislation. And that's a completely different story to what's happening in Western Australia. And so as a WA man, and, you know, I'm cultural, you know, leader, custodian for heritage places on country. And our place is always under threat here. It's under threat because there's no appetite in government to really protect cultural heritage places. And it's all part of a development approvals process.
So having a co-design, it becomes a joint venture, so to speak.
Well, yeah, no, I mean, I'm very cynical of what's happening in WA. So I was part of, with the grassroots mob, you know, cultural leaders, we were pushing back on this new legislation because it's racially discriminatory. What we were calling for is a right to say no to destruction of Aboriginal heritage. And what they were saying, oh, no, you just want to veto over development. And we're saying, no, we're not interested in vetoing development. We just want the ability to say no to destroying our site.
Sure, exactly. Yeah, it becomes a platform for our voice to be heard, so to speak.
Yeah. So what happened? I mean, they refused everything that we wanted to do in the introduction of the legislation, but they gave us a second prize, which was to be part of co-designing the regulations for the legislation.
Mm.
And that means we, as cultural custodians, traditional owners, you know, the mob from the country, we're sitting side by side with mining industry and government and all these other guys in a timetable that the government set out. So they're not flexible. There's no flexibility in the process.
Mm.
And what they're basically saying is, yeah, we're going to get you all in the room together and we're going to write up this regulation and, you know, suck it and see, basically. So
exactly. With no say in the matter.
No.
Horses already bolted, so to speak.
They reckon we've got a say, but it's really all...
Clayton deal.
Yeah,
Clayton deal, sort of deal you got that you haven't got.
Yeah. And make it all look good on the other end. But so, you know, that's the context to it. It's our mob, you know, we've really just got to push back. When there's bad laws in place, we've got to keep fighting and making sure that law gets changed.
Look, things don't change if things don't change. Isn't that the case, Cato?
No. Well, you know, all of us, blackfellas all over the country, we know that nobody's ever going to give us the laws that we want out of the goodness of their heart. We've got to stand up and fight for it. So we've been pretty good at that, so just back to the trenches and keep going.
Yeah, exactly, brother. Well, it's a conversation here on National Talk Black. Fantastic. Government's listening. And, look, another, iron and fire regarding our progress going forward, brother.
Yeah. No, well, I think just listening to, old boy Ness earlier on and all that sort of stuff, you know, we've still got a lot of good things going. And the main thing is the fighting spirit, you know. We basically... been pushing and fighting. I'm a proud inheritor of all the fights that my old people put up before. So just carry on in this generation and make sure we set it up for the next one.
Exactly, my brother. Thank you very much for the yarn. And look, big shout out to your mob there. Look, we'll stay in touch, my brother. And thank you for the yarn. You're too deadly, Cato. Thank you.
Yeah.
Well, Cato Muir, his name is, and he's a National Native Title Council chairman. And talking about the co-design is more than just a consultation and with the purpose to generate a meaningful and collaborative dialogue on co-design. And traditional owners from across WA met with the government, industry and invested representatives to discuss how the principles of co-design should inform the implementation of the WA government's Aboriginal Cultural Heritage Act 2021. But sometimes falls on deaf ears, but we just got to keep plugging away. Is the message there from Cato. Have you saying Yana Strong had the conversation here, National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416.
My name's Jared Harbrow from the Gold Coast Suns. You're tuned in to National Talk Black with Trendy Trek.
1-800-422-416.
Yeah, too choppy that number. That number again, 1-800-422-416. Call that number, Yana, with yours truly. Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from Recurry. I'm your host for your daily program, National Talk Black. Coming to you live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji Country. BBM Bumbabrip Media, 90.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to the National Radio Service. 1-800-422-416 or text a brother 045-714-0550. And don't forget our Facebook page as well, BBM987FM. All right, next segment, which we're yarning, proudly sponsored by Piconi IGA, Brisbane and Edmonton. And they give us a box of fruit here, Bumbabrip Media. And we healthy living, healthy lifestyle message we deliver. And a big shout out there to all our deadly pickaninnies out there. So we're going to catch up a yarn now with the boys in blue from Edmonton Police. And we've got Senior Sergeant Glenn Delay and also his little bodyguard there, Stephen Grant. And a very good morning, gentlemen. How are we?
Yeah, good morning, Trevor.
Good morning, Trevor.
Great to see you both. So are you Steve? Who are you mob? Where are you from?
Proud Jitterbull Murray from the Tully Cardwell area, wettest place in Australia.
Yes.
Yes.
Get that snorkel out of your mouth so I can understand correct what you're saying, brother. Wettest town in Australia. There it is. And big shout-out to Tully Mob. Over to Senior Sergeant Glenn Delay. How are you, my brother?
Good. Very well.
Now, you're based at the Cairns office, aren't you?
Still acting in the inspector role.
Yes.
Another 3 weeks, I believe.
Another 3 weeks.
Yep.
But they can move the goalposts, can't they?
They move the goalposts quite frequently.
Thank you. There you go. Yeah. Blessed are the flexible.
Yeah. That's it.
There it is. Fantastic. Good to see you both. A yarn today, which is a very important yarn, 13 Yarn, and that's a National Crisis Support Line. And I think it's a powerful tool.
It is.
Gentlemen. And
it's something that we want to advocate for your listeners.
Yes.
It's a tool that Queensland Police will definitely be using for referrals for our Indigenous.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for your listeners that don't know what 13 Yarn is, it's basically lifeline for our First Nations people. So it's a support agency.
And our black people are dealing with a black person at the end of the line.
That's right.
And that's a good thing, you know, black on black.
Yep.
And, yeah, we've got Helpline, fantastic, and plug that as well, 131114. Kids Helpline, 1-800-551-800. But now we have Yarn, 13 Yarn, and that's a powerful tool, and that number is 139276. So a very powerful tool.
It is, yeah, yeah. And I think it's something that our First Nations people feel a lot more comfortable with spilling their beans, whatever they want to, you know, have a discussion about.
Describe it, yep.
And like you've said, the person on the end of the line is someone that's going to identify with them and really understand Indigenous issues.
The other thing is also, Trevor, is that service is open 24/7,
yes.
7 days a week.
Yes.
A lot of the matters are actually confidential between both parties.
Mm-hmm.
So that service is available. And it also comes in respect of with the QPS that it's been promoted.
And that's powerful to say, to make that statement. It is confidential, you know.
Correct.
Because we don't want to know about your business, so to speak, you know, and how you said that loose lips sink ships, you know, the Murray Grapevine can also be a hindrance in regard to making that phone call. But the 13 yarn, it's about talking about your situation to somebody, you know what I mean? And they can help you through that thought process. That's what it's all about. And it's just like if you get a sprained ankle, a nurse will patch it up for you, so to speak.
Mm.
Well, like I said, sometimes we need a bit of medicine in regard to just having a yarn, and the two ears are the tools for that.
Yeah,
that's what 13 yarns are about.
And we've always got family and friends that we can speak to, sometimes you're
too close to the matter.
Look, sometimes your difficulties aren't things that you want to discuss with them, and these people are lifeline trained, so they're trained counsellors that you're talking to. So yeah, absolutely. If things are on people's mind and they feel that they need to talk to someone, get it off your chest.
Mm-hmm. So 13 Yarns, Aboriginal Torres Strait Islander Crisis Support Line, as you mentioned, key attributes for that. You want to run with that there, Steve?
The key attributes are the services are designed to deliver for Aboriginal Torres Strait people across various diversities across all ages.
Yes.
Families, status, urban, rural, remote locations that have high rates of suicide and self-harm.
Yes.
So this service is also available in those situations.
Mm.
13 Yarn also reflects the cultural and the historical factors that have contributed to Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people understanding the experience and the mental health and well-being and suicide.
Mm. And I think when you look at that, just to have a yarn with somebody, a cup of tea with somebody, it's like weight off your shoulders, isn't it? Just to get it out and speak, and someone can see where you're coming from or give it a different angle, so to speak, and helps you see light at the end of the tunnel. And that's soothing to the heart, to the spirit, to your thought process, you know what I mean?
Yep.
And sometimes when we're too close to it all, we make mountains out of molehills, you know, and not saying that whatever your situation is, we're not degrading how you're thinking about the process, but in regard to light at the end of the tunnel, so to speak, yep.
Yeah, and sometimes when we're talking to family and friends, they'll have their own biases.
Yeah.
You know, so their advice that they're providing us with are driven by what their thoughts and beliefs are for their friendship or the family.
Sure.
When you were talking to a counsellor, they're put aside. You know, they're free to provide you with quality advice, and you know, sometimes they might steer you in the direction of seeking some medical help with your GP or someone else. You know, or they might just be happy that you're getting it off your chest and knowing you're healing just by having the discussion.
When you look at sometimes your circle of friends, family, what have you, they know you.
That's correct.
Or they've got their opinion on you.
Yep.
So their mind sort of made up the way you should be operating your life or know your habits, so to speak. But when you're talking to someone you don't know, you know, they see a bigger picture, you know, and help you go without looking at your personality or the way you look at life, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yep.
And like the senior sergeant said, you know, these counsellors, they're professional,
yes.
And obviously they've been down that track before with reactions the well-being of what's going on. And it's also good to talk to, like, even your, like Glenn said, your family,
yes.
Your uncles and aunties. Go to the men's shed or on these communities that have them, or women's group.
Yep.
That's also good to talk about.
And these people also being trained in that profession.
That's correct.
In the psychological preference, you know, or situation, and helping them with the advice that they're giving, you know. And then they've got on their fingertips all the different organisations that can help, that they, you know, that they can recommend for you to go to.
And put,
to
a, and put a First Nations layer over it.
So, yeah, so beautiful,
they'll understand the, you know, the you know, impacts of white colonisation on Australia, you know, and talking to another councillor, they might not recognise that that's an issue.
Sure.
You know, that's one example that I can think of that, that may, that where they may help, you know, stolen generation, other impacts on First Nations.
And, exactly. Because we are talking about generational trauma here.
Yeah.
And sometimes it affects them. When you're talking to a black person at the other end of the line, they know where you're coming from, you know, so to speak. Let's bring the Queensland Police into this. As a senior sergeant, you are, Glenn. Did 13 Yarn approach you with their services, or did you hear about it and then contacted them? Or
yeah, look, absolutely. And at the moment, our organisation is disseminating this information across the Queensland Police Service so that all of our officers understand that this is a tool.
Yes.
And to be used. And, you know, we refer people in crisis all the time to different agencies. This is another one that we'll be able to refer people to.
And, especially for our mob.
Yeah.
It's a powerful service that you can promote.
Exactly. Yep. Mm. Yep. Yep. So that's how we've
come across it
is through our organisation, and
so this will be like email out to all stations, and they'll probably have a flyer or poster on the wall, 13 Yarn, you know what I mean?
Exactly,
it's there, and repetition is the mother of all skills. Longs are seeing it, you're putting it in your toolbox yarn, so to speak, offices, and understanding that this tool's available, and they'll promote them and deal with a Indigenous person.
Exactly. Yep. You know. Yep. Yep, and that's all about that cultural awareness.
Right, exactly.
Yep.
So it's a powerful tool, and it's great that the Queensland Police are driving the bulls with both horns, so to speak, on this 13 yarn number.
And Trevor, it also states there, you know, these councillors will listen to you, and, you know, without judgment.
Yes.
And don't be ashamed.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, come forward, you know, get it off your back, like you said.
And I remember speaking to them, because I did have the interview of 13 Yarn when it first came out, and spoke to the sister in charge there, and she said, understand this, when you make the phone call, knowing where your phone call is coming from, you know, from Queensland, you may be talking to a person from WA.
Correct.
So the family don't know the family, that sort of stuff, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so that's why confidential and not biased in that the outcome of the conversation. So you can talk freely, so to speak, get it really off your chest and let them know how you really feel, you know?
Yeah.
Powerful tool.
Mm.
13 Yarn, there it is, 139276. But think of the number 13 and then Yarn, and where you look at the phone, and the letters that to the phone where the numbers are. That's how you find the 13 Yarn. But that's a good way to remember it, 13 Yarn. Find the YARN, press those numbers to make the 13 number phone call. Very important tool.
That is right.
Good, my brothers. Anything more to yarn about? No?
No.
Not really.
Travelling good. We just had the Easter weekend. Right, we've got three weekend, long weekends coming up.
We do, yes.
We've got the Anzac this weekend, then May Day weekend.
Yep.
So let's talk about, well, in this area here, last 4 days.
And I can speak for the far north.
Yep, far north. Have we travelled in the Easter weekend?
2,200 RBTs in the far north for the weekend. And
2,200.
2,200 RBTs. And what did we get? 34 drink drivers. Five of them were in the high range.
Yes.
So, you know, we can look at it in two ways. That there's, you know, with that amount of RBTs being done, it's a lot of people that aren't drinking and driving. So
sure.
That's always a good thing. 34.
High numbers in regarding breathalyzers.
Yeah.
But the amount of people got caught.
Detections are quite low, yeah.
Are low, so that's a good thing.
That's right. You know, and, you know, I'm sure them 34 people now are thinking, you know,
shouldn't have done that.
That was a silly move.
Yeah.
Certainly the five that were in the high range.
Bloody idiot.
That's a real concern, you know. So, with public holidays and long weekends, you know, we do notice an increase in people's alcohol consumptions, and you know, they're always a worry on the road. 16 drug detections as well, positive drug detections over that weekend as well. So, but no fatalities for the
Thank
far
Thank you. No
far
fatalities north. For far north. Beautiful. Yep.
Yeah. So that's always a good thing, you know. That's why we're out there doing that traffic work is to have that high visibility, get the message out. Hopefully the penalties are enough of a deterrent.
Yes.
But the consequences should be. Yeah. You know, it's where we have injury or loss of life is.
If you get called for drink driving, are you losing your license for a couple of months? You are, aren't you?
Yeah, and it'll depend on
what range
you are. So okay. when I say there's five high range, they're above 1.5 percent. So they're 3 times the legal limit.
Yeah.
So that they are quite high.
Sure.
Yep.
Are we talking 6 months losing your license?
Look, it depends. Depends when they go to court. It would depend on
their history. Yep.
Driving history. A few things will come into place. Time of day, where they were driving. How they were driving, manner of driving. So they're the reasons why we're out there. And
people say revenue, you know, but if you're not doing wrong, well, there's no revenue.
Exactly.
And that's a good thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah,
and we keep everybody safe.
Yeah, and look, it is revenue. The money definitely goes back into the state's coffers there, but that's the deterrent that the government's obviously chosen. The best deterrent is a fine.
Yep.
And
You got caught. If you got caught, good thing is, you didn't no fatality. You didn't kill anybody, or you killed yourself.
Exactly.
So take the fine, but also. Take the notice. Be aware of what you did. You're a bloody idiot. Don't do it again.
Yeah.
And
tell everyone how painful this experience was.
Thank you. That's right.
You know, and you're doing my job for me because you're exactly. out there spreading the word, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Well, you'd rather be not booking people.
Yeah. No, yeah. We always do, when we do have an operation and we don't actually detect anyone. We're always. It's a little bit bemusing, but it's good that we haven't detected.
But
anyone.
I think it's a relief for both parties.
Yeah.
If a copper walks away from the car that they just pulled over and breathalyzer, I'm not finding you. You go on your merry way. I go on job. I don't have to do no paperwork, report or anything.
Yeah, yeah. That's it.
Thank you, Dory.
It's a great interaction.
It's a great interaction, isn't it?
Yep. So,
beautiful, yes. Yeah. We're on the same page.
Yep.
All right, gentlemen, beautiful yarn with you. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Trev.
You're heading back to Edmonton.
That's great.
And you're going to Cairns City.
I'm back into Kansas City, yep.
There you go.
Dreaming of Edmonton.
Yep. There's the dream. All the best, gentlemen. Right. Thank you very much. A beautiful yarn with the boys in blue from Edmonton Police. Senior Sergeant Andrew Lai is still acting there at the Cairns Police Station. Dreaming to go back to Edmonton. And, of course, Stephen Grant there, PLO, Police Liaison Officer, going for the Acting Sergeant role. He giggles, he laughs. Not the case. He's happy where he's at. You mob, stay tuned. Add to the conversation here. National Talk Black. Deadly number here is 1-800-422-416.
G'day folks, Troy Cassidale here. You're with Trevor on National Talk Black. Don't move that dial.
Come on, drive it. Drive it like you stole it, son. We are black kids of Australia. We are Aborigine. And we come from an ancient culture called Wiradjuri. Today our culture's growing, and we're glad to say it's so. So let's all stick together, let's not let it go. We were born in the New South Wales country, and we're proud to be Aborigine. We were born in the New South Wales country, and we love our land, love our history. So let's all get together round a big firelight, and put on our kuri colours and corroboree all night.
Yeah, Black Kid of Australia, and it's the Shades of Brindle here on your daily program, National Talk Black. Have you saying Yarn Up Strong, 1-800-422-416. Going to catch up with Tony Gibbs on the line. Tony, good morning.
Morning, Trevor.
How are you, brother?
Yeah, I'm good.
Good.
I've got something new that I've been requested. Want to send out my condolences. I'll just get on with it. I've been calling about the green patch in Gordonvale. It's, the front is open and the park and the rest area and the camping, but the river is still closed, the access to the gate.
Yeah.
I've been having a lot of meeting with the Gordonvale traditional owners out here, people I know. And we're, because we're sort of neighbours to the Goldsborough claim. Goldsborough has a corporation, there's Doolabed, Mullumbarra, Dingy, and there should be a Dingy on its own group in there. And they seem to be making a lot of decisions in Gordonvale, which is upsetting the traditional owners in Gordonvale. The Goldsborough Corporation, whose office is in Gordonvale, is, and there's a lot of signs and things up around town, and history is being changed in the school, on the streets, in signs. And so the Gordonvale traditional owners are really angry. And another part of it is that the Gordonvale traditional owners have been asked to do welcome to country ceremonies while the council and the authorities have shut their own river on them. You understand this?
Sure, yeah, I'm picking up what you're saying. Yeah, exactly, yeah. And look, right. As we know, as black people, you cannot be making decisions or operating in that space when you're another man's country.
That's exactly why I've been requested to talk. And I said, you can talk. And I said, I know you're good at what you do and they're happy with me.
Yes.
What I'm doing. And so there's a really Hippocratic double standard here when council are asking people to do a welcome to country to make things look good. And they say, no, look, they built all
wrong
this
people.
And they've locked us out of our own river.
Yeah, exactly.
The tap dancing days are over, you know?
Yeah, keep you on the left hand, but what's the right hand doing?
Yeah, well, I think I sort of covered that because the traditional owners in Gordonvale don't have a claim and no authority, and it seems to be that the council or politicians are going to the Adinkan Corporation based in Gordonvale, but really their area of responsibility is Goldsborough Valley, not Gordonvale, and they shouldn't be interfering here where the people in Gordonvale itself are powerless. Just for the listeners, I say that Gordonvale is about 20 kilometres south of Cairns and Goldsborough is about 20 kilometres upriver from Goldsborough Valley is about 20 kilometres upriver from
Gordonvale. Yeah.
It's a different area. So, yeah, well, the mob here know that I've been through a lot of native title progress is the wrong word, up in Goldsborough, and so they know I have a lot of information, and I've been helping them with information because I respect and have good friends in the Adinkan people in Gordonvale. I pass on my respects to them because I live here on their country now.
Sure.
But they still shut the river on us, and nothing's changed.
Nothing's changed there, mate. Yeah, exactly.
Anyway, that's the thing of the call, and I did what they wanted me to do. Thank you.
No, I appreciate that. Thank you very much, Tony. All the best to you. That's Tony Gibbs there, calling from Gordonvale, and he's, you could say, caretaker for the Green Patch of Gordonvale. And has his own, has his yarn. But in regarding on country, on another man's country, respect is the word we talk about, and that's black and white. No matter who you are, if you're another man's country, have that respect. This is Trendy Trev here. Murray going to sign off for today's program. Thank you very much for your company. Back in the hot seat again tomorrow. That deadly number, 1-800-422-416. Look, a voice for our people, so do utilise it. National Talk Black 1-hour program. You come to your life from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji country. BB and Bumma, Brit Media, 98.7 FM. And across the nation, we go thanks to NERS, National Radio Service. A big shout out to the NERS team. Thank you very much. And that's, don't forget the text number, 247-045-714-0550, and our Facebook page is right, BBM987FM. News coming up very soon. Look, stay black, stay deadly, stay strong. More important, stay safe. Still in pandemic in regard to COVID-19. Learn how to live with it. Talk to your First Nation health organisations. Thank you.